The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
So it's another showdown for the European financial system this morning, and this is a big one. In Brussels today, European leaders will try to begin to envision some radical changes for the Eurozone arrangement, including the rewriting of treaties that keeps the Eurozone together, the possible creation of a Europe-wide reserve fund to bolster the banks, and a more coordinated approach to tax policy in individual nations to avoid national defaults. At the center of these discussions will finally be the question that markets have been taking bets on for weeks now. Is the euro viable as a currency, which represents the combined strength of the member European states, or is it more like a fragile fig leaf trying to conceal the deep weaknesses in Europe, and maybe it should be discarded for something that more faithfully represents reality in the eurozone? Joining us to discuss all of this is Megan McArdle, senior editor for The Atlantic. Good morning, Megan.
Morning.
Also with us from Brussels is Stephen Erlanger, Paris bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, how much is at stake here? They're really talking about, they're getting down to brass tacks. It's almost literally the case.
Well, it's a little pathetic because they've been trying to get down to brass tacks for more than 2 years now. I'm not a big believer in make or break. You know, these are big economies and they have lots of strength. But the markets want to see a commitment to a political roadmap with some money behind it that will carry us at least into the new year and show some solidarity behind Italy and Spain. That's what they're looking for. It's partly just a question of confidence. Stakes are quite high. The Germans are playing hardball, and there's a lot of pre-summit positioning going on.
Stephen Erlanger is Paris bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, covering the Brussels summit. Megan McArdle, are the European countries capable of finding a language to really grapple with these tough questions, such as creating a tier of nations that are more creditworthy than others, really devoting serious money to back the euro?
Well, you know, you never want to say never. The thing about financial crises is, after covering them for a while, that you always think it can't happen until it does, or that it will happen until it doesn't. So it's possible. Anything is possible. But I do think that the issues facing the Eurozone are very large. I mean, and if you think about the potential deals that are on the table, they actually don't solve the biggest problem, which is simply that there are these internal tensions resulting from the fact that the peripheral countries are not as productive as countries like Germany. And that means that as long as they stay in the euro, they're going to be saddled with an overvalued currency that is going to make their imports less productive. It's going to depress employment unless wages fall, which is going to create all sorts of different social problems. And no matter what they do, they will still have that problem, which means that the tensions will still be there. The temptation to eventually leave and devalue and make your exports competitive again is always going to exist. And unfortunately, in financial issues, problems like this have a way of becoming self-fulfilling prophecies. If investors don't think that in the long term Italy and Greece will be able to stay in the eurozone, then they will make sure that they can't stay right now.
And there are already bets to that effect in the billions of dollars and billions of euros. Megan McArdle is senior editor for The Atlantic. Stephen Erlanger, so if the markets believe that the euro doesn't represent the collective strength and more the collective weakness of Europe, it's just paper, in the words of, you know, someone like Ron Paul. Why not just bail on the euro and go back to individual currencies? What is holding this up here, and why would European leaders allow it to get to a crisis and when they're forced to do it?
Well, Megan, first of all, is basically correct in her analysis of the longer-term problems. But the euro isn't just a currency. I mean, it's true, it can be, it's a rate of exchange, and we have different kinds of rate of exchange. But it also has a political meaning, and it's an important part of the European project, which is the result of two terrible wars and an effort to bind Germany into a larger context. And so it does have a lot of meaning and political meaning for these leaders. And after all, Europe by itself is quite rich. The problem is, do they believe Italy is solvent and that Italy can, with decent interest rates down the road, become a more competitive country? And that's a difficult choice. I'm not sure markets have a collective idea. They kind of go back and forth a bit like cows, you know, from one side of the field to another.
Very fast cows these days, if you look at the...
Very fast and very hungry and always looking for an extra bit of alfalfa, you know, that they get on the margins. But, you know, the fact is, it is a very difficult moment, and the longer-term strains in the euro are real, and the German response of discipline doesn't solve the longer-term problems.
Although an investment in alfalfa futures at this point might be more secure than an investment in the euro futures at this point. Stephen Erlanger, have you seen Timothy Geithner, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, who's supposedly over there, and is he regarded as a cheerleader here or someone sort of waiting for the worst to happen?
Well, he came through Paris. He is trying very much to be the visible sign of President Obama's impatience and his sense of urgency that the Europeans get their act together and not harm Mr. Obama's reelection campaign. Geithner has been very polite. In general, there's a little bit of resentment because there's a feeling that the American economy is in pretty bad shape, too,
right.
Thank you very much. But in general, they're very happy to have support. And, of course, they're going to need some help and advice, as they already have, from the IMF. And the Americans are very important for the IMF. So in general, the more support, the better. And I must say he's been behaving with a lot of discretion.
Stephen Erlanger is Paris Bureau Chief for our partner, the New York Times, covering that Brussels summit. Thanks so much, Stephen. Megan McCarter, we'll give the last word to you. Does the dollar benefit from a euro collapse, or does the dollar benefit from them making a deal here?
Well, I mean, the dollar will get stronger if the euro collapses simply because the United States dollar is already the reserve currency. And if the euro goes down, more people are going to be trying to flee Europe into dollar assets. But in anything but the very short term, I don't think that it helps the dollar for Europe's economy to be descending into chaos. I mean, you know, at this point, if you look at global capital flows and the way that the economy is tracked together, it really is true that no man and no country is an island in the global economy. If they make a deal, you know, it might slightly weaken the dollar, but I think that is, you know, from our perspective right now, we need to export more.
Right.
That
could be a positive.
Goods abroad. That could be a positive.
Indeed. Megan McArdle, senior editor for The Atlantic, suggesting that Timothy Geithner wants a deal as much as any of the European leaders in Brussels. Megan McArdle, senior editor for The Atlantic, Stephen Erlanger, Paris Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.